RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
It's been a couple of weeks since we've talked with Tim Wilms from the Unshackled.net in Melbourne, Australia, for our fix of Australiana. Tim is back. Hi, Tim. Good to have you back again. I hope you're well.
Hi, Paul. Great to be back. We just had our King's birthday, a public holiday.
Oh, who got the gongs?
Well, in there, the King's birthday honours and some of the most high-profile inductees into the Order of Australia, it is called.
Wait on. You don't have sirs and dames?
No, we don't. That has been abolished. Tony Abbott brought it back briefly when he was Prime Minister, but that was a bit of a disaster, which we won't go into. So
okay,
there's various levels of the Order of Australia, and the highest one is called the Companion of the Order of Australia, where there is only six are announced during the King's birthday honours. And so it works out that the person who's got the Companion of the Order of Australia has AC after their name. And the top honour went to former Premier Dan Andrews.
Stop. No.
And for a quote, eminent service to the people and Parliament of Victoria, to public health, to policy, regulatory reform, and to infrastructure development.
Wait on. COVID madness, Commonwealth Games, massive overspending on those infrastructure projects, and clearly not quite a nice guy. So he ticked all the boxes, did he?
Well, this is the problem with all the Commonwealth nations' honours system, and I'm sure that New Zealand is no different, that they're given to politicians, political leaders, just for doing their jobs or not doing them very well.
Screwing it up.
And another COVID comrade over in Western Australia, a former Premier, Mark McGowan, he was also given an Companion of the Order of Australia for, and I will quote this again, for eminent service to the people in Parliament of Western Australia, to public health and education,
public
and
health,
national trade relations, which is basically just, sucking up to the Chinese Communist Party is what.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had the same here. People, Jacinda Ardern, Dame.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
Ashley Bloomfield, head of the whole COVID disaster. Sir, it's a payoff. That's what it is.
Lots of the public health officials, they've also got Order of Australia's previously, including Dan's chief health officer. He was appointed last year the officer of the Order of Australia, which is which is an AO.
Well, I'm going to look forward to the day when they're all taken off them, because it will happen. I'm telling you, it'll happen. It might take a while, but it will happen.
You have to basically be convicted of a crime to have.
What do you mean, against humanity? Yeah, okay.
So that has to happen first, and then their honours are stripped. Yeah. But nobody has been held accountable for any of this. We just had another poll in Victoria. The Labor state government is ahead, two-party preferred, 55 to 45. So the Liberal opposition led by John Pesciuto is still not providing much of an opposition. We're a one-party state. And that's why Dan Andrews was able to win three elections in a row.
They should rename Melbourne Danistan, or something like that.
Well, he's supposed to get a statue for being Premier for over a certain amount of days, months. You get a statue, and that is certainly, if that statue ever was erected, that is certainly one statue. If it was repeatedly vandalised, I wouldn't be that upset about.
No. Bird flu and egg restrictions. Here we go.
Yes. So I reported 2 weeks ago that bird flu highly pathogenic avian influenza had been detected at two Victorian poultry farms, and there was a lockdown 5 kilometer radius exclusion zone that's language that's familiar to us Victorians. So they found it in more poultry farms around that 5 kilometer radius, and so now Coles supermarkets, they have announced that they are limiting egg purchases per customer to two, and they're telling people not to panic buy, which is, the media, of course, is reporting this with absolute glee, because they want there to be a panic over eggs, and they want people to stockpile and panic buy to perpetuate this. And I think I spoke to you about this last time, that if they can't get their bird flu pandemic, because they've already got the vaccines ready to go, though I think they're already worried people won't take them, because there was our mainstream media also reported on the weekend concern from health officials that not enough people are getting their flu vaccines because of vaccine fatigue.
They say it, if it's the normal thing to do, it's not the normal thing to do. This sort of generating a panic.
Well, if they can't have a human pandemic of bird flu, or sorry, highly pathogenic avian influenza, then the next best thing is to decimate the food supply, and so less chickens, and then there's obviously swine flu. I can see in the future they're going to say it's too dangerous to eat meat because of biosecurity reasons, and so
over my dead body, Tim, so, I'm telling you,
to get your source of protein, eat
insects,
because apparently they don't have any diseases or anything.
Oh, sorry, I talked over you. Who? What doesn't have diseases? The bugs.
Oh, well, we're not told that bugs have any diseases that we need to worry about. If
bug flu, watch out for that bug flu. Foreign crims. I think I saw something about that here yesterday. We call them the 501s. And I think Australia cut a deal with Jacinda, right, to make it harder for them to send our finest back to where they came. They spend most of their time in Australia, and they possibly are like they are because of being in Australia. I don't know. So what's this migration direction 110? It's an update from an earlier direction, isn't it?
Yes, all of these direction names. So we had first Direction 99, which Andrew Giles, the under fire immigration minister, well, he wrote it, but it was basically Anthony Albanese who basically made him write it to please Jacinta Ardern, because, for years, New Zealand hasn't been sending Australia their best, to quote Donald Trump.
Yeah, but to be fair, Tim, sorry to jump in, just sticking up for, you know, the old country here. A lot of them grew up from young kids in Australia to Kiwis who went over there. Now,
but they're not they're not Australian citizens.
No, I know that. But
if their ties to Australia are so, then they would have taken out Australian citizenship. And yeah, I'm sure you can understand that, of course, if we can kick criminals out of Australia, we should do it. I mean, New Zealand does this as well. I mean, after all, Australia was founded because Britain wanted to...
This should be right at home.
Kick out... a lot of their criminals to a faraway land.
Can't think of a better place to be then if you're a crim.
Well, we do have the Daily Wire's Matt Walsh, who's basically gone to war with Australia, who wants to turn it into a penal colony again.
Not been? Okay, so that won't go down very well here, I'm telling you that.
Well, we don't care, because we are going to be putting Australia's interest first. And so this Direction 99, so what it actually inserted is into the primary considerations is the strength, nature and duration of ties to Australia. Now, the updated direction also includes that, but has as the paramount primary consideration the protection of the Australian community from criminal and other serious conduct. So that still hasn't satisfied your current Prime Minister, Chris Luxon, who still, of course, doesn't want, you've already got a crime crisis in your country with your gangs. You hardly want any more. So yeah,
Australian trained crims, no, that's not what we want.
And when it comes to the crime statistics, New Zealand born, they're one of the overrepresented.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, well, I'm not happy about that. Sorry about that.
So the reason why, because we have a non-discriminatory immigration policy, it had to apply to all foreign criminals. And so there have been some criminals who've done really horrific things who've been allowed to stay. This is because of decisions made by the Administrative Appeals Tribunal. But the minister still, because unlike in New Zealand, the Minister for Immigration has total discretion, so he can override a decision by the Administrative Appeals Tribunal to cancel a visa. I know that New Zealand's visa system is independent.
Well, I thought that the Minister of Immigration could ultimately do that here as well. That may have changed. If it has, I didn't pick up on it. But I think there's still ultimate discretion there because the appeals end up going to them.
Yeah, because ultimately. I know that when Avi Yemini was first banned from New Zealand, that was done by the Immigration Department independently, so we were told.
Yeah, well, that was a setup. They did that. They broke all the rules on purpose.
But when Australia infamously deported Novak Djokovic, the federal court basically ruled if the immigration minister decides to cancel a visa, then it's cancelled.
Right, okay.
We've had, there has been some high-profile examples of criminals allowed to stay as a Scottish-born man in his 70s being convicted of 48 counts of sexual assault. And there's also, and this one's probably the most ridiculous. So this Scotsman was allowed to stay. A Sudanese immigrant, he was allowed to stay despite a long history of violent crime because he considers himself an Aboriginal like his partner who he's convicted of attacking.
Okay. Boy, that wasn't hard.
No. These decisions, I mean, the Administrative Appeals Tribunal, it's a quasi-judicial body. You wonder about these people. Do they live in some sort of bubble?
They must do, or emotional arguments put forward skillfully influence them.
And now, obviously, the rate of immigration has also been in the political discussion because we are our rate of immigration has really accelerated since the reopening of our borders. Peter Dutton in his budget reply speech said that he wanted to cut the net migration by about 100,000. Our taxpayer-funded ABC, its 7:30 report, political editor Laura Tingle, who's actually in a relationship with Sam Neill. Sorry, Sir Sam Neill is one of the knights of your realm. She was recorded at the Sydney Writers Festival, saying that Australia's always been a racist country and that by Peter Dutton blaming immigrants for inflation, high housing prices, it's going to lead to non-white people being racially abused at auctions, even though I've never heard of a case of this happening.
At auctions specifically, okay.
Well, that's what she said.
And is this relationship with Sir Sam Neill, is that still going on or is that?
Well, it's been in the gossip columns for a number of years now.
Where have I been?
Yes, but since she's been in the news, it, obviously uh, other other aspects of her life have also been in the spotlight. Her father, amazingly, was John Tingle, the founder of the Shooters and Fishers Party. So the rebellious daughter, it seems, because she is incredibly biased. Well, they all are left-wing biased at taxpayer-funded ABC, even though their charter says they have to be impartial.
Okay.
She issued a waffly 1,200 word statement on the ABC website, basically saying that this is just part of the conversation and
out of context.
It was an official ABC report.
Yeah. Okay, Tingle. That's a tingly name, isn't it? All right, eSafety Commissioner. We've heard a bit about her. Who's she targeting now, Tim?
Yes, well, she dropped the federal court proceedings against X over the Wakeley Church stabbing, where that Muslim teenager allegedly stabbed Bishop Mahmar Emanuel in the eye during a live-streamed sermon. So she claimed that in her statement that... she said that this is the most likely option to achieve the most positive outcome for the online safety of all Australians, especially children. So that's an incredible amount of spin there.
Yeah.
But she's gone after now a video by Celine Baumgarten, who is a member of Gays Against Groomers. It was official Gays Against Groomers video. She's known as Celine Against the Machine on Twitter X. She's spoken at Let Women Speak rallies. So she posted a video about a primary school in Victoria, which has a queer club for years 3 to 6.
Sorry, 3 to 6.
Grades 3 to 6.
Great. So what's that?
So that is
eight to twelve year olds. Crikey.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely disgusting. But because she mentioned the school, which is Montmorency South Primary School, and the promoter of the implementer of this queer club, Trish Patsy Marmo, she's been considered to engage in cyber bullying or cyber abuse or doxing. There's new laws that are being drafted by the Attorney General Mark Dreyfus to ban malicious doxing, and we pretty much know that it's going to target videos such as that.
Because again, what's malicious, what's not? Who knows?
Crikey. Well, the eSafety Commissioner doesn't have the power to take down content which is deemed anti-LGBTQ. But the way that Julianne Mann-Grant, I should make sure that I continue to name and shame her, US born. It's
from California, probably, or yes, Oregon or something.
Ex-Twitter employee. So
yeah. Oh, yeah, her. Yeah.
The way that she issued the takedown notice to X over Billboard Chris's tweet, post about Teddy Cook, that trans man who's into bondage, bestiality, and BDSM, was that it was engaging in cyberbullying. And one of the prominent Twitter X vlogging channels, Milk Bar TV, unearthed a interview that Julianne Mann-Grant did with Joy FM, which is a local LGBTQ radio station. And she uses all of these social justice warrior terms, like the intersectionality of online abuse, uses terms like heteronormativity. So she's a full activist, and she's very cleverly using the powers that she's been granted. And both sides of politics have continued to empower her. Peter Dutton in Parliament praised her. And she also went on the ABC to complain that she's been subjected to cyber abuse and cyber threats, all because I simply wanted to protect children. You know,
Who's really protecting the children? What about the 8 to 12-year-olds?
Yes. I've mentioned to your audience before about we've got to have this digital ID so we can protect the children by bringing in age verification for social media, And we've got to protect them from the online harms from pornography by having earlier sex education and respectful relationships program. And we had the latest here in Victoria was the Parliamentary Secretary for Men's Behavioural Change, Tim Richardson.
Wait on, back up the truck. Say that again.
Parliamentary Secretary for Men's Behavioural Change.
Seriously?
Yes, and so Tim Richardson, he's the member for Mordialloc, which is not too far from where I live. If your viewers come across a photo of him, because this is radio, his face screams out soy.
Okay. Why am I not surprised? That's an insult to men, isn't it?
This is what their goal is, using the under the cover of the domestic violence crisis is, as I've said, basically to neuter young boys, teaching them that that their natural masculinity is wrong.
Toxic.
And yep. Yes. And so he's already said, Tim Richardson, that's going to be expanding the Respectful Relationships program with age-appropriate material. Again, this is all in the eye of the, well, a matter of interpretation, it seems, to them about what's age-appropriate.
I'd like to dig into the background of that guy. See what he's been up to over the years.
Well, he's a Labour political machine hack. That's basically his background. He was first elected when he was 26, and he's also playing the victim as well, retweeting some of the abuse that he's got.
Is anyone buying this, Tim? Are the Australian public, the sensible Australian public, buying any of this CRAP?
Well, it's a lot of this is bipartisan. E-safety and, well, Victoria is a one-party state, as I mentioned with the latest polls. The federal polls are a bit closer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they can just do what they want. They've got free rein, at least here in Victoria, the Labor Party, to implement their social justice agenda. And when the current Premier, Jacinta Allan, was praising Dan Andrews, Companion of the Order of Australia, mentioned his LGBTQ, anti-bullying protections, you name it.
Yeah, they're hammering us with it. Okay, quickly, we're almost up against time. Any other stragglers to round up into the story before we're done?
Well, Peter Dutton, he announced that he would, if he was elected Prime Minister, he would be revising Australia's 2030 climate targets, since we're not going to meet them anyway. This is to reduce Australia's emissions to 43% below 2005 levels by 2030. And that's being spun as that he's going to withdraw Australia from the Paris Climate Agreement. And the thing about the commitment that we've made is you can make your own commitment up. But Chris Bowen, the energy minister, saying, oh, this will make us an international pariah.
No, it won't.
On that. No, it'd be great if Peter Dutton wanted to tear it up. Donald Trump will, if he is elected US president. But he has said, no, we're not going to tear it up. We're just going to revise. And they're still committed to net zero emissions by 2050.
See how long that lasts.
And we've also heard more damning examples of the rorting in our National Disability Insurance Scheme, or what I call National Disability Insurance Scam. $45 billion is spent per year and is growing. Well, that's actually the limit that they're setting, because in the Ford estimates, it's going to keep growing. And so there's about $2 billion worth of waste rorting. And that includes dodgy providers taking participants to ATMs to withdraw cash for illicit drugs, including heroin, cocaine, and ice. There have been some who've been taking holidays worth tens of thousands of dollars, spent it on alcohol, rent, gift vouchers, cars, mortgages.
Yeah.
But this was set up in the dying days of Julia Gillard's prime ministership. And because it was co-designed with the disability advocates, they're allowed to choose their own providers. A lot of them aren't registered, so anyone can set up an ABN and be a NDIS.
And just bleed them out.
Yeah, and so Bill Shorten, the minister in charge, he's trying to rein in this way. So it's going to take 2 to 3 years to rein in the rorters. There's new legislation, but there's already pushback from the disability advocates who say this will limit our choice. And this is the thing about if you just do what the activists want, yeah, of course there's going to be, and not put any safeguards in or, and there's a huge amount of children with autism are being put on this program as well. It's whenever the government puts in a whole bunch of money and there's not a lot of regulation about it, there's so many rorts. I mean, there's been rorts with these fake childcare centers and also dodgy technical colleges as well. This is just the latest example.
Some people are very creative. All right, Tim, good to catch up. A lot to think about there. We'll talk in a week.
We will. Take care, Paul.
You too.
Keep warm as well. I'm not sure what the weather's like in New Zealand, but it's very freezing now in winter.
As we talk, not so hot. And I expect some sort of behavioral change, noticeable behavioral change, Tim, next time we talk. You know, I'm hoping that the Parliamentary Undersecretary for Men's Behavioral Change, where you are, will have some effect.
I'll see if I'm reformed by next week.
Right now, free speech is under heavy attack in New Zealand and overseas, with governments constantly devising new ways to enforce censorship. To make sure you never miss the critical news and breaking stories you rely on, join the RCR mailing list today. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.